Lojana was found by Chaim Lojana. We follow a lot of Minhagim of them. This will build a little Tzuk. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, the beginning of Sanhedrin, as the whole Machlekes HaTanoim, when you have a conflict between the Kri and the Ksiv, do you paskel like the Kri or do you paskel like the Ksiv? You say Yeshem LaMikra, you follow the Kri. You say Yeshem LaMasori, so follow the Ksiv. So one of the cases that the Gemara discusses on Daf Dalet is about the Sukkah. There's a Machlekes HaTanoim, Reb Shimon and HaChamim. And we paskel Shtaim Ki Hilchasim Shlishis Afidu Tefa. You only need 2.5 mechitzes. Shtaim Ki Hilchasim means two like this, right angle to each other, not if you have two walls that are parallel, then there's no kula. There is a kula, but it's not as easy. But if you have shtaim kol chasim at a right angle to each other, then the shlishis afilat tefach. The shlishis afilat tefach is not so pashut. The Gemara beginning of Sukkah says you got to have a little bit more than a tefach, and you have to place it within lavud to this wall. Let's say over here. Let's say this is a little more than a tefach, and you put it within 3 tefachim to this wall. Then you have to have a tzuris ha-pesach to the end of the sukkah. So it's not so glatt, not so easy. But that's why there are more says minigas that you make 3 full walls. You don't. It's hard to rely on that the shlishis afilat tefach. Tesis has a whole discussion. Should it be a violation of bal tesis if you make a sukkah with 4 walls? Because the halacha says shlishis afilat tefach. Tesis says that's a joke. Let's say a person in pesach time instead of eating 1 kazay is going to eat a kazay and a half. We eat 5 kazays. We usually eat 2 kazays and for hamotzi matzam, 1 kazayis for korach, kazayis and rafik shvayim bal tesef. It's understood that the kazayis is the minimum. So this is shtayim kol chasam, mashul shafi the tever, that's the minimum. But if you have more, it's really not a violation of the tever. Then there's a din that the tfanas of the sukkah have to be with, the bottom of the tfanas have to be within 3 tochim to the ground. That's called lavud. If it's a mechitza tluya, it's not acceptable neither for Sukkah nor for Masech HaShabbos. It's no good in both. The Gemara says there's room to distinguish, but we don't distinguish. It's no good neither by Rishus HaYochid. If you want to make an enclosed area into Rishus HaYochid, you have to have mechitzas. Mechitzas have to be between 3 tefachim to the ground. You have mechitzas that are suspended above the ground. More than 3 tefachim is not acceptable. The same din applies to the Sukkah as well. Then there's a din that the schach has to be within 3 tefachim to the tfanis. I remember I live in 24 Bennett, so 44 Bennett, the next building, has they used to always have one gigantic sukkah in the front yard, in front of the building. Many of the people who live, many of the tenants are Jewish. So one year there was hardly anybody staying behind for sukkahs. Everybody was going away to their children or to their in-laws, whatever it was. So they built again the gigantic sukkah, and they decided, well, they have to put schach on the whole roof. They're not going to have people sitting all over the place. So they just put schach in the middle. And there was no schach near the walls on the side. So that's a mishnah, and that's not acceptable. And schach has to be within 3 tefachim to the wall. Even though you're sitting under a lot of schach, but the schach has to be mitzurif to the wall. The mishnah says that if you have so much schach that you can't see the stars at night, b'diyeved the sukkah is kosher, the chatchili should be able to see the stars. The rishonim say on the Gemara Daf Ches Amud Beis that if you have so much schach that it prevents it from raining in, then it's already possible even with the other. You have to have a lot of schach. The din is you have to have schach. Tzilasa meruba mechamosoi. You have to have oibin meruba alaparitz. That's a din of hilchus bechitzis also. You have to be ruba kukula. You have to have roiv of the sukkah. Should have schach. It's not a din on the floor. It's not measured by the floor. Let's say if you sit in the sukkah and when the sun is directly above, there's no shade at all for some reason or another. No shade at all. So that doesn't pose a problem. As long as you take the schach, as long as the schach is I mean murba lapart, he lost the murba mechamas on the schach, so you ignore the fact that on the ground there's no tzeil at all. There's an Orach HaShulchan that says not so, but it's not correct. The Gdolim said the Orach HaShulchan is not correct. So before Rishi Gemara, that it depends on the schach, it doesn't depend on the floor. What is considered schach kosher? So the Gemara says there are 3 conditions that it should be considered schach kosher. It has to be gedule karka. Has to be something that grew from the ground. It has to be tolush. It can't still be attached. And it has to be dov sheni mekabel tuma. If you have grapes or you have apples or pears, that's mekabel tuma. The din is in Chumash that if you have food, there are 4 categories of things that are mekabel tuma. Ad mekele mochel umashkin. The bichel maroni mekabel tuma. If they had hechsher, kiuta mayim al zera. If it was rinsed off with water, or one or the other, there are zayin mashkin, 7 mashkin. If you have pears or apples or oranges that were never rinsed off after they were nitlash from the tree, when it's growing on the tree, it rains all the time, but that's not good for Hechsher Zeraim. It has to be rinsed off with water afterwards, detached from the tree. Just like Mechuba is not Mekabel Tumah, it's not Mekabel Hechsher either. So if you have Oechlam, but they were not Huchshar, so the din is that's also not acceptable for Schach, even though Lemaisa, it's not a Dovah Mekabel Tumah. But that's a Machloikas in Achreinim, whether that's possible for Schach in the Torah, or it's only possible in the Rabbanim. Some hold that it's only possible with the Rabban. It's a Dovah Sheni Mekabel Tumah. Not Mekabel Tumah. And others say, no, basically it is a Dovah Mekabel Tumah. It's fruits. But just the condition, it didn't have the Hechsher yet. But in principle, it is a Dovah. So that's a Machlekes. But bottom line, it's no good. It's possible with Sachich, but if you have apples, grapes, oranges, whatever, that's detached, and it's Adayin LaHochsher Mekabel Tumah, the din is that it's possible for Sachich. Just machlekes, but it's a psul derais, a psul derabanan. Is there a difference halacha lemaisa? But there's something that's possible, and there is something that's possible derabanan. Yeah, there is. There may be a slight difference. Possible derabanan is also no good. There's a mishnah in the second parak in Sukkah which records a machlekes of Yehuda and Chachamim. So the mishnah has the following machlekes. The schach is resting on the headboards of, let's say you have two beds. The schach is resting on kari hamita. Hamita, I have some people still have beds with tall headboards and footboards and so on. So if the schach is resting on that, that's a machlekes. So the chachamim say it's good. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not good. So the pashta says, whatever the explanation for Rabbi Yehuda is, it's not too relevant because we're not going to pass from like Rabbi Yehuda anyway. It's Yochid V'Rabim Halacha Kirab. It should be like that. So the Gemara has, but still the Gemara discusses, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara has two explanations. So one explanation is, Rabbi Yehuda L'Shitasai, in the opening Mishnah, there's Machleg Zabir Nachachamim, where the Sukkah has to be Davka Diras Keva, and Sukkah has to be Davka Diras Aroi. We paskin against Rabbi Yehuda has to be Davka Diras Aroi. Rabbi Yehuda paskin has to be Davka Diras Keva. So 98% of the sukkahs are kosher l'choladeis. Most of the sukkahs that everybody makes are kosher l'choladeis. According to Rabbi Yehuda, because it is a diras keva. According to Acham, because it's not a diras keva. They're looking at the same sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda says that it is a diras keva. Rabbanan says it's not a diras keva. So here the Gemara has the pshat. If you have a sukkah that's supported by a bed is a kli. It's not mechuba l'karka. It's a tolush. Rabbi Yehuda L'Shitasa holds that a sukkah has to be diras keva, and this is diras aroi. Since it's only the schach and the bed on the floor, that's a diras aroi. It's not acceptable. That's the machlekes of Yehuda and the Rabbanan in the first mishnah. But if you have schach that's lemaila me'esrei mamah, lemaila me'esrei mamah is very rare, very rare. Remember when Ramaz built it, it's a new building, and made a sukkah on the rooftop. So Rabbi Lukstein was so nervous, he thought this schach was too tall. So he called me up in the yeshiva. I should please come. He sent the taxi. I should come look at this sukkah. So it was nowhere near Esher Mama. It's very, very tall. Esher Mama is, you got a very high. Esher Mama is very high. But what was the real shaila was, he was nervous. That was one shaila, too high. So then the shaila was that on the ground there was no shade at all. There was no shade because the tfanis didn't reach the schach. Only have to go 10 tefachim. Tfanis don't have to reach the schach. As long as the schach is directly above, it's good. So if the sun is shining in from both sides, so you're never going to have any shade over there. And then the cracks, because the schach was so high, maybe it was 10 amas high, because the schach was so high, so the sun that came in through the cracks spread out. So on the ground level, on the ground where the people sat, there was no shade at all. So that's the halacha that we don't accept that Aruch HaShulchan. The din is that depends on the schach. The schach was oimid merub alapar. Schach was tilos and merub mechamos. So that was not really a problem. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that the sukkah has to be diras keva. That's where Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you have a sukkah that's lemaila me'esamam, it's also okay. Chachamim say it's not acceptable because it's a diras keva. Sukkah has to be diras aroi. Rabbi Yehuda says, what's wrong? A sukkah has to be diras keva. It doesn't have to be lemaila me'esamam. But with Salman and Meser Mama, for sure it's a diras keva, so Rabbi Yehuda feels that it's not a problem. There's a machlokes hatanaim, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanim, when you construct the sukkah, do you need a mezuzah? Because you only require a mezuzah on a diras keva. If you only have a place that's only diras aro, you don't need a mezuzah. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a sukkah sachag bechagas chayev is b'mezuzah. Because it is a diras keva. We don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. We pass from that a sukkah sachag bechagas diras aro. So it's not chayv the mezuzah. So if that's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda, that if you support this kach on the kari hamito, on the headboards and the footboards by the sukkah, it's no good because it's a diras haroi and the halacha requires diras keva. So for sure we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. We pass and it has to be diras haroi. So there wouldn't be anything wrong. Then the Gemara gives another explanation for Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara gives another reason. You're right that that is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. That the sukkah has to be diras keva. We see it from other places, from the mezuzah, from the opening Mishnah and Sukkah, and other sources also, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Sukkah has to be Diras Keva. But one can give a different shot than Rabbi Yehuda over here. That the reason why it's no good is a Gzeirah Midrabbanan. That the Mamid, since the bed is a Dovah HaMakabel Tumah, let's say the bed is wooden headboards. So wood is Gidula Karka, it's Tolush, but over here it's Makabel Tumah. The bed is a Kli. The bed is Makabel Tumah. So not only can the schach not be dovah hamakabel tumah, the mamid, the thing that supports the schach, may also not be a dovah hamakabel tumah. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they explain what that sheet is all about. The Ramah quotes from the Ran. Rashi doesn't seem to agree with this, but Rashi's opinion is not accepted over here. The Ran's opinion accepted that it's a gzeirah midrabbanan. If you'll allow people to support the schach with something which itself is pasul l'sachich boy. So the next thing you know is that the guy will use that thing as chach. If you'll allow people to support the chach with the headboards, with the boards from the sukkah that are mekabel tumah, so the next thing you know that people will use that for chach. That's what the Ran explains. The Ramah quotes the Ran that even if you hold like this of did of Rabbi Yehuda, that you can't be mamed the chach, you can't support the chach with the dovah hamekabel tumah, or if it's something that's not gedul lekarka. So a lot of people, let's say, I have my sukkah built in between the walls of all the buildings. So I use the concrete walls. Concrete is karka. It's not gedule karka. It doesn't grow from the ground. It's karka mam. It should stand. So you can't use concrete for schach. So according to the chumrah of Rabbi Yehuda, that you can't be mamid the schach with something which itself is possible, we shouldn't be able to use concrete walls for tefanas of the sukkah if the schach is going to be resting on the walls. And everybody does that. So the Ran says, yeah, bricks and concrete, everybody knows. You don't make exer, they're abundant over there. Everybody knows that that's no good. But the headboard of the bed, it's gidule karka, and it's tolush, it's wood. The only thing is that it's dava hamakabel tumah. So people may not think. So if you permit people to use the headboard as a mamid, the Buddha has exer, they're abundant. That the next thing you know is that they'll use the headboard for itself, and that's not acceptable. The second, nothing to do with Rabbi Yehuda of Diras Keva, Diras Aroi. So there is a minority opinion. There is a minority opinion in Rishayim that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. What's that? Why should we pass like Rabbi Yehuda? Rav Rishayim say, whatever the Pshat and Rabbi Yehuda is in the second parak and Sukkah, we're not going to pass like him anyway, because Yochid V'Rabim, Alochid K'Rabim. But there's one obscure opinion that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. that the din is like Rabbi Yehuda, a din mid the Rabbanon. You can't be misachech, you can't be mamid the schach with a dovah hamakabel tumah. You can't be mamid the schach with something which itself is schach possible because of the gzera that you may be misachech with that thing. In the Shulchan Aruch, there's a little bit of a stira. In one place it says beferish that it's not a problem. The other place it says lachatim. It is a problem. So what's the answer? So all the noise can give the same answer. Nikar adin is absolutely kosher. But it's a lechatchila, because there's one minority opinion. Out of respect for that opinion, lechoshesh, a lechatchila, one should avoid being mamid the dover hamakabel tumah, but dover shepasul l'sachich bar. So a lot of people have this problem. They have a metal frame, and then they have the stock resting on top of the metal frame. So metal is karka, metal is not gedule karka. Metal doesn't grow from the ground; it's ore. So it's karka mamish. So you can't use metal pipes. You can't use metal pipes for schach because it's not called dule karka. It's karka mamish. So you should, according to this chumrah, that l'atchila, out of respect for this minority opinion, we do that a lot of times. There's a minority opinion. I mentioned just the other day, we were talking the second night of Rosh Hashanah, there's a machlekes whether you say shachyonu or not. When you say kiddush. The second day of Rosh Hashanah, there's a machlekes whether you say shachyonu when you blow shachyonah. On the block and broys, they don't say Shachyonah on the morning of the second day of Rosh Hashanah. They follow the Shvadish of Sakh. In the morning of Purim also, they don't say Shachyana on Mikra Megillah because they said Shachyana at night. And Ashkenazim, they follow always the Psokim of the Sfar. Whenever the two Haftaris, they say the Sfardisha Haftar. They daven Nusach Ashkenaz, but they follow Minhagim and Shitas of Sfard all the time. So out of respect for that opinion that we really passed them, you do say Shachyana on the second night of Hashem. Out of respect for the other opinion, the Svardish opinion that you don't say Shachyanu, so we take a pre chadosh or a beget chadosh that it shouldn't be a bracha l'matzah. We do a lot of times like that, not to violate the other shittas. The Bahag says that if you skip one day in Sviras Ayman, so you lost the mitzvah, and you don't continue to get. So we don't pass on like that. We pass on, Taisa says there is no such din, it doesn't exist. We made it up in thin air, and there is no such halacha. But nevertheless, out of respect for the Bahag, if the person missed the day, so we say, don't say a bracha when you continue to count. Because according to the Bahag, there's no mitzvah anymore. So here also, we really don't paskin mamid. We paskin not like Reb Yudah. Whatever Reb Yudah says, is Yachid v'Rab Malachi K'Rab. He's been outvoted. But because there is such an opinion in the Rishayim, you should paskin like Reb Yudah. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch says, Om Rabbi Alma to a mamid. Let's say you're invited to eat by someone else, but your parents have such a sukkah. You're going to say, you're not going to eat your parents' sukkah, you're going to eat them. There's a sukkah. So you don't have to say chumrah. If your din is that, it's good. That doesn't matter. So the Shulchan Aruch, they quote, there's a chumrah. The pain good. It's pain good. So you have metal. If you have metal frame and you have the schach on top, that's an issue of mamid. So this chumrah, Magaram is sustained. The commentary of the Mishnah Berurah quotes this from the Magaram. He says, how do you solve the problem? So let's say this is the top of the sukkah. You have four metal bars over here. So he says, you put the beams of wood, put beams this side of the so that's a wooden beam, you put bars. That's what they call, they made up a term, mamid. It's a mamid de mamid. The dav hamakabel tumah, or the metal bars, ain't a gidul. The wooden stern as a point. So that's the Chazon Ish says that that's a mistake. That for centuries everybody was doing like that because that's what the Magen Avraham says, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham. So he says, the Chazon Ish says, you haven't accomplished anything by being Chayshish. He says, what if you have very thick schach that's 6 inches thick and you'll have a schach on top of the metal bar? So you should then, you don't inches have stairs. So let's say that the top 3 inches are the schach and the bottom 3 inches are the mamid. So it's a mamid, the mamid. The metal bars are holding up the bottom 3 inches of thickness, the bottom 3 inches are holding up the top 3 inches, and the top 3 inches are the schach. So he says, that's a joke. All the 6 inches thick are the schach. So just because over here you have evergreens on top, or you have bushes, branches on top, and the 2x4s are wooden beams, because they're different material. But it's all schach. The whole thing is schach. So you can't say it's mamid de mamid. He says the Ramban says, this idea that the Magen Avraham said about mamid de mamid comes from the Ramban. He said the Ramban didn't say it like that. Ramban said, you don't have to worry about the floor. If you have a metal floor, and the walls are held up, you have wooden walls that are held up on the floor, and then you have schach on top of the wooden walls, that's called mamid de mamid. The metal floor is holding up the wooden walls, which in turn are holding up the schach on top. But he never said it. He said the Ramban never said it. If you have a thickness of schach, that he called the bottom layer of schach the mamid, and the top layer is the schach. The whole thing is all schach. But if you have that chumah, you haven't accomplished anything. So everybody knows that's called the Chazon Ish sukkah. That you have, if you have such a sukkah with metal frame, so you spend another couple of $100 and you buy a wooden frame. You have the schach held up by the wooden frame. And the metal frame just holds up the tvanis of the sukkah. Costs a lot of money. It's a chumre. You can find that money that yoytz chumre is poor because of the matzah. In my opinion. So is there any difference in the maaseh between schach that's part of the tvanis chos if you have parent in store? So that's a machlekes achreinim. Is that called dova hamakabel tumah? Well, no, it's really Dov Shein and Mekabel Tumah, but it's possible with the Rabbanim because it could easily be Rinstok. What's the difference? So here there's a big Machleika Sachrein, and it happens that it's a steer in the Mishnah and Berurah, one of the other as a weapon we got. The day did that went before because there was an Aishan that says that we should pass on like Rabbi Yudah Shita, the Mamid is no good. So it's a gzera derabanan. That's why we assume it's not a din deraisa. Rashi sounds like he says Rabbi Yehuda's din is a din deraisa, but that we don't accept for sure. The Rabbah accepts the Iran's understanding. But the whole shita of Rabbi Yehuda that there's a problem with Mamed is a gzera mederabanan. So if it's a gzera mederabanan, so some are writing him up with this idea that there's a din. You have no right to make a gzera l'gzera. If the whole chashash is that you're concerned somebody may violate a din derabanan, so you have no right to make a gzera derabanan. You have a pasuk, Gishmartim es mishmarti, asum mishmeres l'mishmarti. That's the last pasuk in Parshas Zachrimos. Asay siog la Torah. First Mishnah in Pirkei Av is based on that pasuk, Gishmartim es mishmarti. So Rashi writes in the beginning of Deitza, v'lo mishmeres l'mishmarti. That's the insufficient cause. Not allowed to make a gzera derabanan unless there's a real tzorah. There's only an insignificant tzorah. You have no right to make a gzera. So you're going to make a gzera derabanan because you're afraid someone's going to violate a din derabban. So that's insufficient clause. So that's a machlokes achronim. Is this called a gzera l'gzera? If you're going to be mamid, v'schach posel, that's only posel mid'rabbanan. Let's say I had a wooden chair, I had a wooden bed or something, and then it broke. I had a wooden dresser, which is a kli, it's a kabel tuma, and it broke, and now I have broken pieces of wood. So broken pieces of wood are no longer mekabel tuma. When it was functioning as a dresser, it was mekabel tuma. Now that it's broken, shivrei kelim are not mekabel tuma. But midrabbanan, you're not allowed to be mesachech with shivrei kelim, exera, that the person may think he can be mesachech with kelim also. So what if you're going to be mamid the sukkah with shivrei kelim? So that's a contradiction between two Mishnah brewers. He's quoting Achrenim each time, but he didn't realize he quoted Achrenim who contradict each other. Is that considered exeril exam? Pashto says that it's not exeril exam. Pashto says that that's a trade de rabbanon. A shvuz de shvuz is not exeril exam. Trade de rabbanon. Exeril exam means the motivation to make exeril in the first place was because you're afraid someone's going to violate a din de rabbanon. Here the motivation to make the gzera not to be mamid b'schach pasul is because I'm afraid someone's going to use the schach pasul as you're going to use the mamid as schach. So once they made it on schach pasul deraisa, so it applies also to schach pasul derabbanan. That's not called gzera l'gzera. The pashto says that's called a trade derabbanan. Shouldn't be a gzera l'gzera. But in achrayim it's a machlokes and it's a stir in the Mishnah Brura. Chazanish points out it's a stir in the Mishnah Brura. So halacha lemaisa, how do you pass kareinis? We're talking the whole thing is a chumrah. The whole din of mamid we don't really hold like. So you're talking to be choshish for the obscure opinion in the rishayim. So it's a machlekes achrayim. How far you go? So Chacham Avadya has a tshuva. Has tshuvas on everything. Baruch Hashem. He has a tshuva. So he says in the rishayim, the only one who discusses this topic, the mamid b'schach pasul derabbanan, is the Ritwan Sukkah. Sukkah's word for it. And he says that the Ritwan says lahakel. Sure. So the Ribbon says, Lahakil says, Shengarok, you're not Mechayim. We're talking about a Chumrah on top of a Chumrah. In the Rishonim, you only found the Sheet of Lahakil. Okay, even though I don't think it makes sense. I think it shouldn't be a Gzeru Gzeru. Should it really be a trade derabbanan? That's not real Gzeru Gzeru. But he says, the Ribbon says, Lahakil, so you're not Mechayim to be Mechayim. So there will be a slight difference between Schach Pasol Deraisa and Schach Pasol Derabbanan. Let's say, for example, sometimes it comes up. Let's say you have clotheslines that people hang up clothes on the line. So sometimes the clotheslines are made from metal with plastic on top. So the metal is not gedulei karka and the plastic is not gedulei karka. So clotheslines are not kosher for schach min haTorah. So if you want to be choshish for this chumrah that the Shulchan Aruch has, not to be mamid, schach posel. So let's say a person has a sukkah for tfanis, but for some reason or another, the schach is not supported by the top of the tfanis, the schach is held up by the clotheslines. The two clotheslines parallel to each other, and the schach is resting on them. So if the clotheslines are metal lines with plastic on top, so that's posel l'sachich po min haTorah. So then, l'chatchilu we machmer for the mamid. If you're invited to such a place, they say, bracha on the sukkah, it's a kosher sukkah. But l'chatchilu, you should avoid that. What if you have, let's say, clotheslines that are made from heavy hemp? It grows on the bush. Like when you tie up parcel post packages, you have heavy cord that if you rub it on your fingers, you're going to hurt your fingers. So that grows on the bush. That's gedulei karka, but it's nishtana. So there's a gemara at the end of the first parak in Sukkah, where there's a machlekes, the Rambam and everybody else, what pshat in the gemara. Machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos learn a different pshat, and the Rambam's pshat is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So the Rambam learns pshat, not gemara. If you have something that's gedulei karka, that's nishtana, they made it into thread. Let's say cotton grows from the ground, or hemp grows from the ground. So if you have something that's gedule karka, but you made it into string, you made it into cord, heavy cord, it doesn't look like gedule karka. You can't really, if the person doesn't know, he won't recognize that it's gedule karka. So the Rambam learns that that's pasul midrabbanan. So that's the shaila. If you have heavy rope and you want to support the schach on the heavy ropes, so according to Chacham Avad, he says there's no room even to be machmeh here because that's on the schach pasul midrabbanan.
What if you have schach mats which are held together by thread or by rope or by string?
That's called mamid. Pashto says that that's called mamid. The Shulchan Aruch has a discussion. What if I put the schach on top of the sukkah and I'm afraid the wind is going to blow, it's going to fly away, it's going to fall down, so I put a ladder on top. So the Mechaber quotes from the Rishayim, Masofik Wadu, a wooden ladder. There's a wooden ladder, Mechabel Tumah, so then I'm being mamed b'schach pasul, because it's Mechabel Tumah, or maybe wooden ladder doesn't have a base kibble. Kliyates are only Mechabel Tumah if it has a base kibble. If it doesn't, if it's like when you buy Dixie cups and they give you a little wooden spoon, but this wooden spoon is flat, it doesn't have an indentation. If you have a big wooden spoon to stir in a pot, so there's a base kibble over there, has an indentation. So that's mekabel tumah. That's pshuti kliyates, not mekabel tumah. If it's a flat kliyates, so the Dixie cup spoon is a pshuti kliyates, that's not mekabel tumah. And a big spoon that has a base kibble is mekabel tumah. So here, the ladder is a pshuti kliyates, so it doesn't have a base kibble. But the Mechaber quotes the Rishonim had a suffix, maybe it's also the tash mishodim, so maybe it is mekabel tumah. So the Mechaber holds that that's also called mamin. Mamin is not only if the schach is resting on the thing, I have the schach on top of the sukkah, and I put something on top of the schach to weigh it down, then it shouldn't fly away. Mechaber quotes the Rishonim that that's also called mamin. That's also a problem. So let's say you put the schach on, and then you tie the schach that it shouldn't fly away. Tie the schach down with metal wire, with plastic wire, or with nylon. Tied it down to the walls that it shouldn't fly away. That'll be mamid b'schach pasul. The Chazon Ish has chumras and kulas. He's an independent thinker. The Chazon Ish disagrees, but all of these with the Shulchan Aruch, he thinks that's not called mamid. The Chava says beferish that it, when you put the ladder on top of the schach that shouldn't fly away, that's called mamid. So the Chazon Ish thinks that he doesn't have any rishayim. He thinks that that's not correct. Mamid is only if it supports it on the bottom. If without the Dovra Mamid, the schach would fall down. But I put the schach on top, so the sukkah is already kosher, then I'm afraid it's going to fly away, the wind is going to blow it off. So I tie down the schach, I weigh down the schach with the ladder on top. So he says, that's not making it kosher, that's preventing it from becoming pasul. It's such a distinction in Hilchos Mikvaos. In Shulchan Aruch, they make such a distinction. So the Chazon Ish carries it over here to the sukkah. He thinks that He was machmer on the mamid lachatchilin Shulchan Aruch said he should be machmer, but he thinks that that's not called mamid. So that's why a lot of times when they have these mats and they have pieces of wood that are held together, so they're machmer to use thread that is gedule karka. Ais nishtana, so nishtana is only a psul de rabbanon, so they rely on Chacham Avadia that there's nothing wrong with being mamid b'schach pasul de rabbanon. But if sometimes you have it held together, the mats, parts of the mats are held together with nylon or some synthetic material that's not gedule karka, that's really an issue of mamid b'schach pasul. Mikra, then it's kosher. But the Shulchan Aruch quoted this chumrah to avoid using a mamid that itself is pasul. There's a discussion in Achrayim in the Shari Tshuva next to the Be'er Heitev. Some people use the same schach year after year after year, so they're afraid it's going to get, the wood is going to get ruined because of the rain. If it rains on the sukkah, so the wood is going to get out of shape. So they paint it with paint on the outside. So that's a discussion not running. When you paint wooden schach, is that called nishtana? If a ganav steals something and he paints it a different color, so the Mishnah says in Bava Kamma, the ganav is painted b'shinui. If he steals a garment and he dyes it a different color, he steals wood and he paints it a different color, that's called shina. So whatever is called the shina for the ganef, that shina is kindness, so it's called the shina over here, it doesn't mean, no, you can't, I can still recognize that it's wood. It's not a secret, everybody can tell that it's wood. Maybe Nishtana over here, that the Rambam Lam Pshat, if he made thread and he made string, a cord, out of the Gedulei Karka, it's no good, because Nishtana means that people can't recognize that it's Gedulei Karka. But if it's wood that's painted over, you can recognize what it is. So that's a Dion. Is that called Nishtana? Everybody, sometime right on in his life, has the following issue. You have a sukkah, and then there are branches on a tree on top. So the branches on the tree are mechubel karka. So that's pasul l'sachet boy. So what's the din? But I don't need the branches. I don't need the branches. I'm going to sit under the schach of the schach is kosher schach. So the Balamor has a funny opinion. He says it depends what came first. Depends whether the schach kosher came first or the branches came first. To what came first? Shulchan Aruch says it doesn't matter what's on top, what's on the bottom. It doesn't matter who came first, who came second. If you have schach kosher and schach pasul, shading the same area on the ground, so the schach kosher is not acceptable. You're sitting under the shade of the schach pasul. Doesn't matter what came first. So let's say an airplane happens to, I live near the airport. I don't. If I live near the airport, so every time an airplane goes over my sukkah, I have to stop eating. I have to wait because the airplane is metal. So I have schach pasul and making shade over there. Sometimes you have a ledge from, sometimes you have a fire escape. You make your sukkah under a fire escape. So the fire escape is made from metal. So it's not gedulei karka, it's karka. It's pasul l'sachet boy. Sometimes you have a protrusion. You have concrete sticking out from the building a little bit. So you can't sit under the concrete. That's no good. Sometimes you have so much concrete sticking out. So let's say here's the top of the sukkah. I have schach kosher on the whole thing. But then I have concrete over here. So the schach directly below the concrete is not acceptable. I can't sit over there. Can I sit in the rest of the sukkah? Does this wall count? So the Mishnah says that if it sticks over more than dalat amos, if the schach pasul goes more than dalat amos over, if it's less than dalat amos, so the schach kosher is treated like schach pasul because we have schach pasul on top of it. The schach pasul less than dalat amos, we have a klal doifen akuma. So we visualize as if the doifen, as if the tfanas go up and they bend in. So that's up until dalat amos in, you can say doifen akuma. Once it's yesem dalat amos, you can't say doifen akuma. So that's because I have schach all the way from one wall to the other. And then I have the doifen, then I have the concrete on top. What if I don't have any schach over here? Why should I waste money and put schach over here if you can't sit there anyway? So I have concrete that sticks in, let's say, 3 amos in. Some hotels in Eretz Yisrael, they have like this, and they still didn't change it. It's already 20 years, they still didn't change it. You have concrete sticking out 3 amos in. So the hotel, it's a fortune, it's a gigantic sukkah. So they don't put schach all the way to the wall. Watch what they're going to accomplish, put to the wall. So they only put the schach up until the point where the schach pasul is over here. So do you say doifen akum over there? The schach pasul is over here, and there is no schach over here at all. So what's the din? Let's say there wouldn't be any schach pasul. I have 2 layers of schach. One of the rabbanim had this shayla this week. He was asking, I think, for his shul. The part of the schach is on this level, and part of the schach is on a higher level. Is that acceptable? So the Mishnah calls that sukkah hamiduv lelis, a sloppy sukkah. It goes up and down, up and down. So the Gemara says, if everything is within 3 tochim, the upper layer with the lower layer, halpidin, within 3 tochim is lovut, so it's considered as if it's one solid hemshek. What if it's not lovut? What if it's not within 3 tochim? I have schach kosher over here, the schach kosher over here, but it's 4 tochim empty space in between. This is mitzdarf yachad. So the Gemara says, if the schach kosher over here has a tefach al tefach, which it has a lot more than a tefach al tefach, so then there's a principle halacha l'mashim sinai that's called chavut rami. I visualize as if the two are connected. I visualize as if the schach kosher over here would be lowered down. It's a din for tumas kohanim also. It's quoted in Yeridei. The Gemara says in Sukkah it's a din for kohanim. Let's say there's a din of tumas meis. There's a din that if there's a mace over there in the end of the base matter, so the tumah goes all the way to the whole room. That's called ohel, tumas ohel. So what happens if you have a roof over here, and then you have a roof over here? They're not connected with each other, but they overlap, or they're exactly either overlapping or there's no gap in between. When this ends, so the other one begins right away. So since the one on top has much more than a tefach al tefach, it's a gigantic roof, so that's the halacha l'mayshe mesina chavad rami. It's considered as if I lower the higher roof, it's considered as if it's one big hemshech. So the tumah goes from one side to the other. If you would have a gap in between, let's say you have a room, and there's a roof on top, but there's a gap in the roof of a half an inch. Should have said lavud. So the Gemara says you don't say lavud here. You don't say lavud for tumas neis. So if there's a gap all the way across, a half an inch, and the neis is on the one side of the on the one part of the roof, the tumah doesn't go to the other side. But if you have two different roofs, and there's no gap in between, there's overlap, or there's no overlap, but the bottom roof begins where the top roof ends, and there's no gap in between. So that's called chavad rami. So the din of chavad rami is if that's schach and this is schach, so then you say chavad rami. The shaila is, what if I have, like we had before, I have the wall of the hotel is like this, then you have three amas protruding, you have a whole courtyard in there. Here, there's a certain hotel in Yerushalayim that has the buildings are around and around. So they use the outside side of the buildings as the defanis for the sukkah. They have a few hundred people sitting in the sukkah. And then all around the whole sukkah, they have protrusions of concrete coming out, fancy designs. Less than 4 amas, fine. Most of it is less than 4 amas, okay. And the part that there's more than 4 amas, so you don't need the defanis there. So fine, it's less than 4 amas, but they don't have schach kosher underneath it. So we're going to say chavad rami. No, but the stuff on top is a doifen. You say doifen akum. It's a doifen. It's not schach. You want to say chavad rami if the thing on top is schach. But the thing on top by tumas ames. There it's a roof. There it's a roof. Here it's an oil. Here it's an oil. But over here, the thing on top is considered halachal moshe mesin. If it's less than dalal ames, you say doifen akum. It's considered a hemshach of the doifen, not considered a hemshach of the schach. If you would have schach all the way to the end, on top of the sukkah, and then you have the puzzle of concrete over here, so that would be fine. So you have schach kosher here, then this schach is schach puzzle, and it's less than dalal ames, and you say doifen akum up until dalal ames. But if you have no schach over here, just have the extension of the building, the protrusion of the concrete of the building, you can't say chavad rami over there. I once asked Rav Simcha Cook, when the Rabbanut gives a hechsher on the hotel, did they supervise the sukkah also? So he said, I was at that hotel and not the sukkah. Say, oh, it's a question on the food. Forget about the sukkah. I'm not so sure that the Rabbanut gives a hechsher whether the food is kosher or not. Forget about the sukkah. Let's not discuss the sukkah. That's terrible. Anyway, you got to make sure that you're sitting in a kosher sukkah. Okay, we built the sukkah, good enough. A few words about dalal minim, not too much. The Gemara talks about the fact that you hold the lulav in your right hand and the esrog in the left hand, because by righty, the right hand is more important, and the lulav has 3/4 of the mitzvah. You have the lulav, hadasim, and arabis, and the esrog is only 1/4. What if a person is a lefty? So that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, 2 opinions in the Rishon. They say that's why everybody should hold it. They say no. If a person is a lefty, just like when he says Kiddush, he holds the Becher in his left hand, so he should hold the Lulav in his left hand and the Esrog in the right hand. What's the big deal? Did he ever give probably Yotze anyway if he held it in the wrong hand? So there's a Rabbeinu Chananel quoted by the Magen Avraham. How did he have a Rabbeinu Chananel? I don't know. We have it on the Vilna Shas. He didn't have a Vilna Shas. He had a Rabbeinu Chananel. So the Rabbeinu Chananel quoted by the Magen Avraham says, if you switch hands, you're not yotze. If you hold the lulav in the left hand, the esrog in the right hand, you're not yotze b'dyavad. I remember when I was a little boy, so I used to daven in the yeshiva on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. So my father used to come home from shul. He davened early minyan shul, and I used to take the dalal minim and go by bus to the yeshiva to daven here. So as I was walking in the street every day when I walked to the bus, so there was always a person who used to wave to me good morning. I didn't think he was Jewish. And then on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, he waves to him, he says he wants me to come in, he wants the bench esrei. I was surprised that he was Jewish. So he puts on a yarmulke, and he starts, and he holds the esrog with the pitim up, and he holds the esrog in his right hand. I said, no, you have to hold it with the pitim. I said, you're telling me? I know, I'm older than you. He was in his 70s, I'm older than you, what do you have to tell me? He holds the esrog with the pitim up, and then he holds the lulav in the left hand, then he says the bracha, then he switches hands. They hold like the Abbeinu Chananel, that if you hold in the wrong hand, you're not yotzei. So that was over Lassi Yosef. He held the esrog in the right hand, a little in the left hand, and then he said the brachas, and he switched hand. He knew. Are you telling me? He knows better than me. So in Shulchan Aruch, because the Abbeinu Chananel holds the b'di'evig, you're not yotzei, if you hold in the wrong hands, and there's a machlokes and rishonim. If a person is a lefty, does he hold the lulav in the right hand or the left hand? So the Shulchan Aruch says that you should hold it twice. The first time, the main sheet, there really is that if a person is a lefty, he holds the lulav in the left hand. And then the minority opinion is fakir, that you hold the lulav in the right hand. So first, when you say the bracha, you hold the lulav in the left hand, and then afterwards you should switch hands and hold in the right hand. What if you hold both the lulav and the esrog in the same hand? A lot of time when you go hashinus, so you have to have three hands. You have to have the lulav in the right hand, the esrog in the left, and you need another hand to hold the siddur. So people usually hold the lulav and the esrog in the same hand, and they hold the lulav and they hold the siddur in the left hand. So the Beis Yosef quotes an opinion from the Rishonim that it's right to be machmir for, I think it's about Ben Yeruchim, that you're not yaitse if you hold them in the same hand. You have to hold dafka in two different hands. The Beis Yosef quotes from the from the Rakeach, that he had a dream. There was a mekubal in shul, and he was benching esrog. And he was holding the lulav in the right hand, the esrog in the left hand like this. He didn't hold them together. So the chassid had a dream. The Rekeh quotes the chassid had a dream. And someone was writing Shem Hashem on a Sefer Torah, and he kept on writing Yud Kei Vav, and he wrote the hey over there. He had a big pause in between. And he woke up, he didn't understand what was the dream supposed to represent. So he realized that the Dalamina must represent the four letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and you're supposed to hold them true in two hands, but the two hands should be close to each other. Shouldn't hold the lulav over here in the right hand and the lesrog over there. Should hold the two together, not in the same hand, but they should be near each other. Shouldn't be far apart. Shouldn't be in the same hand, they shouldn't be far apart from each other. So how do you do this? That's quite a trick. So in Europe, hardly anybody had, they had one lulav and esrog for the whole city. They had two. So the Rabbi Gerelich told us that he remembers Rabbi Dovala Soloveitchik, when they went Hoshinus, Rabbi Dovala had the lulav and the esrog, and the Chazan had. He had somebody walking behind him, in front of him, backwards, with the siddur open. So someone held the siddur, the Rav Elbel should say to Hashanahs, held the lulav and the esrog in the two hands. But in America, everybody has a lulav and an esrog. Everybody has, so you got to have three hands. Okay, so you got to figure out how to do it. L'chatchila, the proper way to do it is not to hold the lulav and the esrog in the same hand. The hadasim have to be hadasim misholoshim, means that you should have three leaves on the same level. The Arovis and the Hadassim have to have a minimum, where Machmeh has to have a minimum of three tvochim. So you need at least Roiv. To get Kulov Mishulosh is very difficult. So if you have Roiv, it has to be 12 tvochim tall. So if you have 7 tvochim of the 12 of Mishuloshim, so that's good. So the Hadassim have to be Mishuloshim, at least Rubai. Should be approximately on the same level, right?
Is it rov of that shear, or if you have a bigger hide, that's it has to be rov of that?
Rav Soloveitchik said you could be mekel. I'm not sure why. Let's say the hardest is 4 tvachim tall. So he said it's enough if it's 6.5. 4 tvachim is going to be 12 etzbos. Correct. A tefach is 4 etzbos. So if you have 3 tochim, so it's 12 etzbos. So if you have 7 etzbos, 7 inches is mishuloshim, so that's roiv of the 12 inches. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that even if it's, let's say, 4 tochim tall, it's 16 inches tall, all you need is 7 inches, roiv of the basic shear. That's questionable whether that's, there's a Dvar Avram talks about this, that the Ruba Kukula, it goes on a unit. It shouldn't really go on a shear. That's questionable. I don't know where he got it from. Then the Gemara says that the Mishnah says that the Hadassim and the Arabs have to be a minimum of 3 tefachim tall, usually the taller, and the Lulav has to be a minimum of 4 tefachim tall. Why? Kedela Nanea. Kedela Nanea. The din is that the Ninua, the shaking of the Lulav, is not Miyaka Dirievet, but it's Alachatkila Deraisa. Because the Gemara says, yeah, you need 4 tefachim shurim ha'alokha moshe misina. You need that the lulav has to be a minimum of 4 tefachim tall. So when you do ninua, it should be noticeable that the top of the lulav is shaking. So you see that the mitzvah b'shleimusa derais is to do with nanui. That's why a cotton shigia lechinoch is chayiv and lulav. Only a cotton has elyon aneya. If the cotton is not old enough, he's not old enough to hold the lulav and is not to do ninua, then you're not mechuyev in lechinoch and the chop. I is able. The Gemara says, "Medag ben afipeg." When he picks it up, he yotzei. So he's not able to do the ninuim. So you see, no, you only mechuyev in chinoch, and the cotton gil lechinoch means he's able to do the mitzvah bishlei musa. He's not able to do the ninua. You're not mechuyev. Remember, my children, probably all children are like that. They wanted to shake a lulav, they couldn't even pick up the lulav. It was so heavy. Little babies, they saw the father and mother picks up the lulav, they wanted to pick up also. So even when they reached the age that they were able to pick up the lulav, they're not able to hold and do nanuim, which is has to be an older age. That'd be older than 2 or 3 to do that. So then also you're not mechuyev and chinuch on such a child. So the Gemara says that this halacha that the lulav has to protrude a tefach above, if you have a hadassim and arovis that are 4 tefachim tall, then you need the lulav has to be taller than that. It has to be a tefach taller. And the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this from the Ran, who points out on the Gemara, it's not enough that the lulav should go a tefach taller. The shedra of the lulav should go. The shedra doesn't go all the way up to the top. The shedra is the fat part of the lulav, the backside of the lulav. So the shedra has to protrude a tefach above, however high the hadassim and arovis happen to be. So if you have tall hadassim, your lulav has to have protrude a tefach of the shedra above the top of the hadassim narovis. Then there's a Chuvas Rashi that the Achronim quote. They don't really understand why the Talmidim of Rashi quote in the name of Rashi, you have to hold the hadassim higher up than the arovis. If the arovis are higher than the hadassim, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. They say they don't understand why. What's the market? They don't understand. Echateisa. Why do you have to? Hadassim represents tzaddikim, and arovis represents the people who have no embo, no tamil, or reach. They have no Torah, they have no mitzvah, they have nothing. Hadassim was a tzaddik, is Esther, and Hadassim is considered tzaddikim. They don't know where in the world Rashi got this idea from. Well, lachatchila we machmir for the Rashi. So usually it's fakir. Usually, b'noeg shebo'olam, the arovis are always taller than the hadassim. So if you're going to put going to tie together the lulav, hadassim, and arovis, and everything is going to start from the same point. The arovis is going to be taller than the hadassim. So according to Rashi, not yotze b'dieved. They have to snip off the bottom of the arovis to make them shorter, so that the hadassim will be taller than the arovis. Make sure you have 12 inches. Make sure you have the gimel tefachim. But the arovis are usually much longer than gimel tefachim. Usually taller than the hadassim. So you have to snip off the bottom of the arovis. And make sure when you put it in, the hadassim should be slightly above the arovis when it reaches the top. And the shedra of the lulav has to protrude, the tefach of the shedra has to protrude above the top of the hadassim.
It's sufficient that it's just higher up as opposed to taller. So, for instance, if you just you don't have to make sure you just
right.
Reach
you put it higher, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Enough?
Yeah. But the thing is, if you're going to put it down in a pot of water, then whatever's high up is going to fall down. So you got to make sure you don't ruin your hadassim and arovis. Okay, just has to be high. There's a machlekes hatanoim in the first perik in Sukkah. Machlekes abuyin in the rabbanon. Well, the lulav tzaracheged lulav ein tzaracheged. We pass from lulav ein tzaracheged. Even if it's not tied up together, you yotzei b'dieved. But chatchila, it's a mitzvah mishum hida mitzvah that you should have eged. You should have eged. According to Reb Yudah, it's clear from the Gemara that the eged has to be a kesha agabi kesha. Not stam, you wrap it around and you tuck it in. Eger has to be kesha gabi kesha. Then Rashi, Lama Gimel, points out, Rashi proves from the Gemara, that just like a contra abuda, lulav tzarech eged li, proving you need a kesha gabi kesha, according to the Chachamim der abuda, the chumr lachatchila, that mishum hida mitzvah, lulav tzarech eged lachatchila, has to be a kesha gabi kesha. Where do we have a kesha gabi kesha? Usually when you get the lulav, so they wrap it around, they tuck it in. It's not a kesha gabi kesha. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a sefer, Agur Bo Halecha. Never heard of it. Where did the Mishnah Berurah get these from? He writes in the introduction to the Mishnah Berurah that nobody ever reads. There's a little sefer on Aruch Chaim that's called Pischei Tshuva. It's a likut of Shari Tshuva was written early. Shari Tshuva was written by Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolis and his brother. And it doesn't have any chasam sefer. The Pischei Tshuva. And Yeridei and Ebenezer Chosh Mishpat was written in the end of the 1800s. So he quotes through the Chasam Sefer. And the Shari Tshuva and Aruch Chaim sometimes has gematriyos and Rashi Tevis and Shetlach and Agoras. And then even the halacha that he has, he doesn't go late enough. He was written before a lot of major posts. So they're Sifrei Likut on Arachaim. So one of them is the Pischei Tshuvas and the Mishnah Brura. We'll quote the Magen Avraham, the Prima Godim, the Chesed Moshe, the Svarim on the Daf, Maimer Mordechai. It quotes the Svarim on the Daf in the Shulchan Aruch. But wherever he's going to quote a Tshuvas Rabbi Kiveger, that's not on the Daf. So he's quoting whatever appears in the Pischei Tshuvah. So the Pischei Tshuvah quotes this, Agur Ba'alecha. Once in a while, the Mishnah Brura just writes, look on the Pischei Tshuvah. So people think it must be a misprint. There's no Pischei Tshuvah. There is. It's a separate sefer, Pischei Tshuvah on the Arachaim. So he quotes this, Agur Ba'alecha says that the keshikel that we use, that's weaved, that's woven from the strips of the lulav, that's constructed, that's tied together in such a way that you have a keshel gabi keshel. So that's the keshel gabi keshel. When you rip off a strip from the lulav and you wrap it around and tuck it in, that's not a keshel gabi keshel. But the keshikel is a keshel gabi keshel. See, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds lulav sarchegel, so the Gemara says in the first perek in Sukkah, so just like there's a din of tasav elayman ha'asui on the schach, so too there may possibly be, Gemara is not sure, there may possibly be a din of tasav elayman ha'asui on the keshev as well. So let's say you have to hold the lulav hadasim and arobs, then you have to take something and tie it around. But if you buy a keshikol from the store, you buy it from the fellow who's selling the estrogim, and then you stick in the lulav hadasim and arobs, that would be tasav elayman ha'asui. The keshev was there before you even put anything in. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it wouldn't be right. So the shaila is, according to the Rabbanan of the Rabbi Yehuda, l'chatchila yinig lulav sarcheg. So would you say l'chatchila you're not yotzei with a keshekel because it's tasav lemon osik, because the keshev was there before you even put in the lulav and esrei, before you put in the lulav and hadasim and arabas. Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that was a problem. So he never used to use this keshekel. He used to have the lulav hadasim and arabas, and he would tie it together with a strip from the lulav, and he would make a double knot, a keshel gabi keshel, because of the Rashi. And he thought that if he's going to use a keshekel, that's going to be tasav lemon asi, and he won't be yotzei lechatchila. Just like the Rabbi Yehuda holds that it passes b'dieved because he needs tasav lemon asi. So whatever Rabbi Yehuda says leikuvah, we say lechatchila. And the consensus of most of the poskim is that it's not a problem. The Marsham says there's a sefer on Hilchas Dalet Minim that's called Chaim Avrochon and Mishmeres Sholem. The author of the sefer is known as the author of the Mishmeres Sholem. He wrote a chibur on the Prima Godim on Yeridei Mishmeres Sholem. Years ago, people along Yeridei used to learn the Mishmeres Sholem. He's a commentary on the Shach and on the Taz. People today don't even know that the sefer exists, the Mishmeres Sholem. They don't look on the Prima Godim, so they don't need a Mishmeres Sholem. Mishmeres Sholem was a big paisik in the early 100 years ago, in the early 1900s. He quotes Rav Chaim, he quotes the Or Sameach. These are all friends of his. So he wrote, his main sefer is the Mishmeres Sholem L'chibur on the Prima Godim on Yeridei. He wrote two svarim that are called Chaim Avrochon and Mishmeres Sholem. One is he has all the didim of Dalet Minim alphabetically arranged. So you can find it in a half a minute. He writes, the Rabbanim are busy before Rosh Hashanah with Shilas and before Yom Kippur, Cholim. Everybody has a Shilas, eating Pachas Mikashia and a breakfast bread. Every other guy in the Kollel, apparently his wife is having a baby. Everybody told me their wives are all expecting babies, and everybody had a shot of eating and drinking and sugar water and everything. So the Rabbanim are busy, he writes. They have no time to go through Hilchas Dalet Minim, and the Balabatim are going to ask Mishailas. So he put all the dinim alphabetically, arranged so you can find it 1, 2, 3. And he did the same for Hilchas Avelis. He puts all of Hilchas Avelis alphabetically arranged. They have it now in the gigantic sets of Shulchan Aruch. They have it in the end of the third Chelik Yeridei. They have the whole Sefer. Chaim Avrochon and Mishmeres Sholem. Originally it's printed as a soft cover, a sefer. The one on Dalet Minim is separate, the one on Avelis is separate. So he quotes the Marsham there a lot. He quotes that the Tasav Lemon Osir on the last page in the sefer goes from Aleph to Tav. So the last page has Tasav Lemon Osir. So he says, Tasav Lemon Osir is only a psul according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbanan, it's not really a problem. What's an example of Tasav Lemon Osir by a sukkah that is possible by a sukkah? So the Mishnah has Achotet Begodish. Let's say a farmer has a pile of hay in his farm, and he crawls on the bottom of the hay and he picks out hay, and he picks out a cavity. He makes a cavity inside the hay. The minimum size of the sukkah has to be zayin al zayin tefachim. The floor and the ceiling has to be 10 tefachim tall. So he picks out so much hay that he has zayin al zayin and 10 tefachim tall. But the cavity was made after the schach was there. The whole pile of hay was there before. Then he pulled out the hay. So that's called tasav lemanasa. First you have to have the cavity, and then you put the schach, should be mahil, the schach should be mesach on something. But if the schach was there before you made any cavity, then you made it into schach by picking out all the hay on the bottom, and that's a psul deraisa of tasav lemanasa. I was one year I was in Eretz Yisrael for Sukkos. One of my daughters got married in between Yom Kippur and Sukkos in Eretz Yisrael. So she lives in Eretz Yisrael. She lived in Eretz Yisrael for a few years before she got married. So that punkt at Sukkos, it was raining. So a lot of people had their Sukkos on a porch on the fourth floor, and it never rains in Eretz Yisrael. They don't. Till Zayin Cheshvan, you don't say Mashav Ruach. You don't say Talamata. You don't say Talamata till Zayin Cheshvan. You say Mashav Ruach. Shmini Atzeres. You don't say Talamata till Zayin Cheshvan. It's very unusual. I remember we were sitting in the Sukkah the second day of Sukkah, so the phone was ringing and ringing and ringing. We were using someone else's apartment. The phone was ringing, so we didn't answer the phone. So then 20 minutes later, somebody rings the bell, and we answered the door. So they said, so why don't you answer the phone? So he said, because it's Yontav by us. It didn't occur to them. Second day Yontav, by them it's the first day Chol Moed. So they were calling on the phone, they had a Shaila. What's a Shaila? Apparently Karen Yavna has the annual dinner in Eretz Yisrael on the second night of Chol Moed, the Sukkos. So the Shaila was, should they set up in the hotel or should they set up in the Sukkah? Because it's raining. So I said, no Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. So he said, it never rains in Eretz Yisrael. This is the American Shaila. Only the Rabbanim in Eretz. Rabbanim and Chutzlar, it's no dishar. So I told him they should set up in the hotel. As it turned out, it was pouring that time. So that was the right time. Anyway, so what happened was, that sukkah, it was raining all over the place. So there were sukkahs that were built. No one expected any wind, and no one expected any rain. So people had schach on top of the sukkah that wasn't tied down. It's never so windy. So there was wind and there was rain. So the wind blew the schach off and it fell on the ground. So some people had a sukkah on the ground level. Their schach fell down. And the schach on the fourth floor fell directly on top of the sukkah that had its schach blown down to the ground. So that was a shaila. Is that tasav lemanos? Of course, it's 100%. It's literally tasav lemanos. The schach was not placed on the sukkah by a person. So the other rabbonim, who don't know hilchos sukkah, clearly, they thought, no, it's kosher. Why? Because the shaila comes up all the time. Let's say you made a sukkah, you put the schach on top. Then it starts to rain, so you put a cover on top. So when the cover is on top, the cover is plastic, or the cover is whatever. It's not going to rain through the cover. So that's schach posel on top of schach kosher. So you can't be out to the mitzvah when the shlach is on top and the cover is on top. Then when it stops raining, you take off the cover, and lo and behold, the sukkah becomes kosher without placing the schach. Kozman, the shlach was on top, the sukkah was posel. And you machshir the sukkah by doing something else, by removing Ishlak on top. So the Mordechai quotes a machlokes of Rishonim on that. Some Rishonim say it's taka no good. It's tasav lemanasa. So you have to pick up every inch of the schach and put it down again. Pick it up the tefach and put it down again. If it's chalamayid, if it's not young, it's chalamayid. It's kedai to be machmer unless the schach is tied down, so you can't pick it up. But if the schach is not tied down, it's kedai to be machmer to pick it all up. But we pass kamikir adin that it's not a problem. Why? Because since the tefillas asiyas haschach was behechsher. When you put the schach on, everything was fine. So even though temporarily, when you put the shlach, when you put the roof on top of the schach, you can't be yotze the mitzvah sukkah, and you take off the shlach, so it returns back to its original state. Because originally it was put on the hechsher. So that's what some of the rabbanim, who obviously don't understand hilchos sukkah, they said since the schach was put on the upper sukkah, the hechsher, even though it flew down, the wind flew it down and threw it on top of the lower sukkah, Chilas Anochas Haschach was behechsher. That's a joke. Chilas Anochas Haschach and that sukkah was behechsher. But on this sukkah, the Chilas Anochas Haschach was b'psul. It's a psul deraisa. Doesn't make sense. So that's called Tasav Lemanos. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you have the keshuk and you stick in the lul of the hadasim and arav, that would be Tasav Lemanos. Because you have the kesher. The kesher was tied. The knot was tied before you put anything inside. So the Gemara says that would be a psul. But we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. So we pass in just l'chatchila. Hamitzvah min hamufchar lulav tzorach eged. So that Rav Soloveitchik taught that the tasav lemanasa carries over. L'chatchila you shouldn't use a keshukum. And this sefer Chaim Avraham Mishmer Rishalom, he quotes a lot from the Marsham. So he quotes this from the Marsham. Marsham says that that's not a problem. the simple reading in the Gemara is like the Marsha. This year, last year was a Shnas HaShmita, so years ago, 50 years ago, it used to be a Yiddish newspaper. It used to come out every day. Now it comes out once in a while. I don't know. I never read it. So years ago, every time, every 7 years, when there would be a Shnas HaShmita, they would have two advertisements on the same page. The Mizrahi would put in an advertisement that this year, like every year, despite the fact that last year was a Shemitah, Rabbi Soloveitchik recommends in Shabbat and Esrog for Eretz Yisrael, and there's no issue. There's no Shaila al pi halacha, it's kosher. And next to that, we have an advertisement that because this year, last year was a Shemitah year, the Satmar Rebbe recommends that no one should buy an Esrog from Eretz Yisrael because it may be possible. Because yesterday was Shemitah. So why an Esrog of Eretz Yisrael is possible? The Mishnah says you can use an Esrog from Eretz Yisrael. Well, how did it all of a sudden become possible? So people would say, yeah, we would know with our eyes closed. If you tell us there's Machlokes, this is Satmar Rebbe, Rabbi Soloveitchik, we can tell you who said what. Without reading in the newspaper, Rav Soloveitchik was the honorary president of the Mizrachis. Of course, he's going to support the Medina. He's going to say that you should buy an Essex from Arizona. The Satmar Rebbe was against the Medina. Of course, he's going to say it's no good. The truth of the matter has nothing to do with pro-Medina, anti-Medina. They could have said, switch the Shitas also. It's a different issue. The issue is the following. The Mishnah says in Lulav HaGozel, the third parak in Sukkah, that an Essex shall orla. Orla means you plant the tree, the pears that grow the first 3 years. Sometimes pears don't grow. But if pears grow the first 3 years, they're also b'achila b'anor. So if you have an esrog that grew orlo in the first 3 years, it's possible to use for the mitzvah. What's wrong with the esrog shel orlo? Gemara has two explanations. So one of them is, esrog has to have a heter achila. Ain't bo heter achila, so it's not good. Why do you need heter achila? So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah is because the Chumash refers to the esrog as pre eitz hadar. Pre has to be a fruit. A fruit means edible. If it's a treif of fruit, for some reason or another, it's treif. But that's not called a pre. So the esrog shel orlo is no good. So the Satmar Rebbe was choshesh for the Rabbi Natan. You look on the last daf in Yevamos, the last Omed Aleph in Yevamos, and I think it's the last Tosfos in Yevamos. I think on Omed Beis there's also a Tosfos, but it's the last Tosfos. There's only one Tosfos on Omed Aleph on the last daf in Yevamos. So Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natan saying pshat in the Gemara that Meshumer is also bachil. Meshumer means a farmer has a farm in Eretz Yisrael and says in Parshas Mishpatim, Hashviyas Tishmetana Unetashti, is supposed to be Mafkir all the Paris. A Jewish farm has to be Mafkir the Paris. That was the famous Machlekes, the Mabit and the Beis Yosef. They were contemporaries in the Bezdin and Tzfat. So the Mabit felt that Tzavkaita the Malka, the Rebbe Shalom declared it as Efkir. You don't need the farmer to declare it as Efkir. And the accepted opinion is not like him. The accepted opinion is like the Beis Yosef. Hashviyas Tishmetana means the farmer should be Mafkir it. If the farmer is not mafkir, it doesn't become hefkir. You're not allowed to take it. But the farmer has a mitzvah to be mafkir. So the mice, 50 years ago, most of the farmers were relying on heter mechila. It's still the same today, but there are more, every seventh year, there are more people not relying on heter mechila. Because the farmers, years ago, if you didn't rely on heter mechira, you wouldn't have any parnasa for the whole year. Today, the farmers are making so much money the other 6 years, they can go to Bermuda. They can go on vacation for 2 years. They don't have little farms. They have big, gigantic farms that make enough money. So the big Shas Atrak, the Rav Kook was Mekel, you know, they don't have such a big Shas Atrak now. People make a mistake. They think that the heter mechira was invented by Rav Kook. It wasn't. It was introduced in the 1600s by the Svardish Poskim. There were no Ashkenazi Poskim in Eretz. There were only all the people, were all Svardim. So the Svardish Poskim came up with this heter. And then Rav Kook, he didn't come up with this. Rav Kook was a Rav in Europe. And then the Rav in, where was Rav Kook when he first came to Eretz? Yafo. So the Rav in Yafo passed away. So they asked Rav Kook to take over. So that was part of the rabbi's job in Yafo. The rabbi in Yafo was the holy tzaddik. Nobody ever picked on him. He put out the svarim from the Gro and Kabbalah. He put out the Siddur HaGro, other things. He was the holy tzaddik. He was the one who did the heter mechira. When the badats told the balabatim, they better go for heter mechira, so they said, but we don't want to do it. Go to the Rav in Yafo. So the Rav in Yafo, I forgot his name, the Rav in Yafo did the heter mechira. So Rav Kook came to take over the rabbanus in Yafo. That was part of the job. Like whoever's the rabbi of the Jewish center has to supervise the Manhattan Arab, whether you like it or not. Whoever's the rabbi in Young Israel of Flatbush has to supervise the Flatbush Arab, whether you like it or not. that's part of the job. So whoever is the rabbi in Yafo has to supervise the Hefte Mechir. So Rav Kook was not happy about it, but he wrote the whole Sefer, Shabbos Oratz, and explains how to improve the Hefte Mechir. Every 7 years they improve it, they introduce Mochum, it's a Mochum, okay. Rav Kook died towards the end of his life. He suffered, I think, from cancer. He suffered a lot, and he told his Mekuravim, they just printed this a few years ago, He said maybe he's suffering because he shouldn't have gone along with the Hefte Mechir. But it wasn't his idea. It was from the 1600s, and that was expected. The one who takes over the job in Yafo has to supervise the Hefte Mechir. It wasn't his fault. Anyway, so you have farmers who would rely on Hefte Mechir, and they would lock the gates in the of the field, and there wouldn't be mafke the peres. So the Satmar Rebbe held the Hefte Mechir is not valid. Most of the poskim were not happy with Hefte Mechir. So very, very highly, highly questionable Hefte. But that's really a shaila for the farmers. It's not a shaila for the consumers. So what is it, my Yasek? Whether the farmer did right or did wrong, that he wasn't mafke. No. So the Satmar Rebbe said, but the Rabbi Natam says on the last daf in Yevamos that Meshumer is also Bachila. If the farmer violated Din Tish Metena and Natashna, he wasn't mafkerit, he locked the gates and he didn't let anybody take it. So then the Esrig is on Bohetra Achila, because Rabbi Natam says that it's also Bachila. So that is what the Satmar Rebbe said. So Rav Soloveitchik said, not so. Why? So Rav Moshe has the exact same thing. The two parts that Rav Soloveitchik said, Balpeh, Rav Moshe has in his first Igros Moshe. One of the last, maybe the last true. So he says, first of all, Rov HaPoskim don't accept the Rabbi Natam. And secondly, even if you hold, so we really don't paskim like that, we paskim Shumer is Mutam. And even if you would hold like the Rabbi Natam, it's not Macholos Asuris. The Gemara says, an Esek Shem Ahet Rachila, if it's treif, if an Esek Shel Arla, so then it's also Bachila, Ein Bahet Rachila. But over here, it's not that it's also Bachila. If I'm going to buy any nice day, and they're selling watches in the street, they're all stolen goods. Selling jewelry, selling what? All stolen goods. So if you buy the stolen goods, you're pasalatus. It says in Shulchan Aruch, achelik emaganav. If you buy stolen goods, you know that it's stolen. You buy stolen goods from the guy who says it to you for achatz echinam, because he stole it. He got it for nothing. So he charges you half the price. So if you buy from the guy, if you're helping out, you're aiding and abetting the guy. If you're encouraging him, you should keep on stealing more. Because if you wouldn't have any customers, there would be no tafas in stealing. So that's what the Rambam said. That's the pshat over here. If I'm going to eat the food that he was mishamer, I'm helping out the farmer violate the din. If he would know that he's not going to get any customers, so he wouldn't violate the din. He would have been mafkerit in the first place. Why is he not mafkerit? Because he's going to sell it later on. So Rambam says in Rav Soloveitchik, that's not called Ein Bahetar Achila. If you eat it, it's considered as if you helped lock the gates. As if you violated the din of Tish B'Tenu and Natash. But it's not that it's a chepza macholas asuras.
Why did Mutru take it Rogish Shvius out of Eretz?
That's another question. The Mishnah and the Sifra say that Peiris that have Kedusha and Peiris Shvius are not allowed to be taken into Chutzlar. So that's a question. Who gave him permission to take it to Chutzlar in the first place? Okay. The Netziv was always supported Zionism. It was before the Netziv, was way before HaKamas HaMedina. Rav Kook was the Talmud of the Netziv. Netziv was the Rashim HaLosh in the last 39 years. Rav Kook learned same time as Bialik. But he learned a little more than Bialik. Rav Kook used to learn on the average 60 blot a day. 6-0. Bialik was busy writing poetry. He's writing about the Masmidim. He's writing about Rav Kook. The Masmidim about Rav Kook. Not about himself. Yeah. So the Netziv always supported you should buy a Sregim from Eretz Yisrael, and they brought that Sregim to Europe. So he said, once they brought it already, he said they shouldn't have brought it, but once they brought it already, so he was Mahara to buy Dafke and Esrog from Eretz Yisrael. Then the din is that they had a Kedusha's Perish Viz. They didn't have a Het Mechira then. They didn't have the Het Mechira then. So if you want to pay money to the merchant, so that it is that Perish Viz are types of the name. The money that you give becomes Nitvas. The money becomes Nitvas produces Perish Viz. And the merchant who sold the Esrogim to is not allowed to put the money in the bank, which he certainly is going to do. He's supposed to buy food with that cash and eat up the food before the Zman Abir of the Esrog, which he's not going to do. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to give money for Perish Viz to an Amaretz who's not going to observe the Dinim. So what do you do over here? So the Netziv writes, and it's true, is how he solved the problem. He asked the merchant who sold the Esrogim, he should sell it to him on credit. He says, I promise you, I'll pay you after Sukkot. After Sukkot was over, he had someone cook the esrog for him. He cooked it with sugar, make something like marmalade, and he ate it up. And once he ate it up, then you pay the money, so there is no zet tachaseh. The perish fees disappeared already. It's in his stomach. So that's, he quotes the Gemara in the last parak in Avodah Zarah, that the only time shviz is tafes is damea, if it's a zet tachaseh. So if it's eaten up already, then it's not tafes damea. So that's how he solved the problem. The Netziv didn't have a checking account. The Chazanish writes, if you have a checking account, you pay by check, or you pay by credit card, there's never any zet tachaseh. The perish fees are there. Perish fees are there, but you're not giving him anything. I give him the right to draw against my account. My account, I have the right to draw against YU's account. YU has the right to draw against Jackie Bentheim's account. Jackie Bentheim has the right to draw against his customer's account. They have the right to draw against their account. The whole thing is in the Luften. There's nothing there. Okay, if someone wants to go get the money from the bank, I'll get it. But at the time that I give the money, there ain't nothing there. The whole thing is just Cheshbainer, the same thing credit card. That's what the Chazanish is quoted as saying. They don't have it in the Kisri Chazanish. But the Rabbanu from Bnei Brak quoted in his name that if you buy anything with by checks, it's not Teufel's Dama, because there is no Zeh Tachazeh. So the Netziv didn't have a checking account, so he had to eat up the Esrog first. Yeah. So that's a question. So some Pastim say that you're permitted to take the, you know, Mishnah says you're not allowed to take us Perish Viz to Chutz La'aretz. So some of the Achrenim say that the Makam Mitzvah is Mutter. What's the Makam Mitzvah? So they're talking Makam Mitzvah. If you have no way to be Yotze the Mitzvah of Dalamina, the only way to get an Esrog is from Eretz Yisrael. You can get an Esrog from California, you can get an Esrog from Morocco, you can get an Esrog from other places in Chutzal. You don't necessarily, if that's the whole Heter, the Makam Mitzvah, to fulfill the Mitzvah of Dalamina, then maybe there's no Heter. So that's a Shalom. Maybe it's a Makam Mitzvah, it's a Mitzvah to give Parnasa to the farmers in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe that's the Makam Mitzvah. Anyway, that's what the Chazanish. Chazanish also writes like that. In the Ikar Adin, we really don't pass from like that, Rabbi. In the time we hold that Mishumer is Mutter. Rav Chaim Kanievsky printed, that's what the Chazanish writes in his Sefer. Rav Chaim Kanievsky printed a letter in one of his many Svarim. He has fantastic Svarim, encyclopedic knowledge. So he has one of his Svarim. Chazanish sent someone a letter recommending he should be Machmer. Yeah, but it doesn't contradict what he wrote in the Sefer. The Sefer was written for Klal Yisrael, and he sent a letter to a certain tzaddik. So you're a Eurasian mind, you should be Machmer. Okay. For people who are royal akach, so they should be choshish for their Rabbeinu Tam, the Meshumer is also Bachil. But you can't say for the Hamoina, Mikra Adin, we pass the Meshumer is Mutter Bachil. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik and Moshe, they both said, Meshumer is Mutter, and even if it would be Osir, it's not called Eimah Heter Achil. Now they have Bnei Akiva and others are selling Oitzer Bezin. What is Oitzer Bezin all about? So the din is that any peris that grew on the farm that belongs to a Jew have a kedushas peris shviz. So if they relied on heter mechira, so they sold the whole farm to a goy, so it didn't grow on a Jew's farm. So the Beis Yosef, that's the psak hamekubal. The Beis Yosef says that there's no kedushas peris shviz if the peris grew on the farm of a non-Jew. The Ma'bit disagrees, and the Chazanish thinks that we should follow the Ma'bit. He thinks the Ma'bit was greater than the Beis Yosef. So around Bnei Brak, the Choshish for the Chazanish. But all over Eretz Yisrael, the Psak HaMekubal, since the Beis Yosef lived in the 1500s, Psak HaMekubal for over 400 years, before the Chazanish came on the scene, was all over. The Chidus Gula would be Choshish for the Ma'bit, but the Hamayinam, everybody, all the Rabbanim, they all followed the Beis Yosef. The parents that grow on the farm of an Anjou don't have Kedusha's parishes. So if they did a Mechira, if they sold it to a Goy, so the parents will not have a Kedusha's parishes. So if you're buying Oitzer Bezin, means by definition they didn't sell it to an Anjou, so those parents have Kedusha's parishes. So the din is, what is the din of Kedusha's parishes? So the Pasuk says one mitzvah, Voice of Shamsa Oslachem li Ochla. The Ochla means li Ochla velo lehefsid. Let's say sometimes you eat. Go to a restaurant, they give you so much food, they charge you a fortune, and they give you twice as much food as you can eat. So what are you going to eat? You're going to stuff everything down. It's a baltashkes on the food, it's baltashkes on your body. The Gemara has a lashon, baltashkes the goof, it's more chomer than baltashkes on the food. So maybe you can take it home. Okay, ask them to put it in a tinfoil container, I'm going to take it home, put it in the refrigerator. If you're not going to take it home, so they're going to throw it out in the garbage. But they can serve it to someone else tomorrow. You started eating it. So if it's perishvius, you're not allowed to throw it out. You have to save it. You don't have to put it in the freezer. And you have to save it till it becomes nifsal ma'achila, and then you can throw it out. So if you, let's say you have a heter, let's say you have an esrog, not relying on heter mechira. You have an oitzah, there's an esrog. So it says on the box in Hebrew, most of the people who buy it can't read Hebrew, so they're not going to know what it says. So it says you shouldn't throw it out after Sukkot is over. You should either make some edible food out of it and eat it, or send it back there. It's still have somebody eat it over there. Or wait till it dries out, until it becomes nifsal ma'achila sodom, and then you can throw it out. When it's no longer roi la'achila sodom, then you can throw it out. Then it no longer has kedushas perishvius because it's not roi la'achila. So then you can throw it out. So what is Oitzah Bezdin all about? So Oitzah Bezdin never appears in the Mishnah. It's a tosefta in shvius. Tosefta explains that bizman ha'tanoim, many of the balabatim are violating the laws of shemitah. Shemitah was always a problem. The vice rishon was chayav because they violated shemitah so many years. Shemitah and Yovel, they violated the 7 years of Golos Babel. The Gemara makes a whole calculation as B'chum Keneged, all the 70 years of Shemitah the Yovel that the Jewish people had violated. Shemitah was always an issue. Bais Rishon, Bais Sheni, was always an issue. So Bizman Bais Sheni, the Tanaim came up with this Einfal to solve the problem partially. There's a din li'ochla v'lo l'schora. You're not allowed to make big business on Perish Shvius. Let's say if I plucked off the field that's hefker, so I plucked off 5 apples, I'm going to eat little by little. I'm going to eat the apples. So then my next neighbor asks, can I have an apple? So I said, yeah, go pluck an apple. It's all hefker. He says, no, he wants one of my apples. So I said, I'm going to have to go get another one. I want to sell you the apple for a dime. But that's not a violation of li'ochla v'lo l'schora. I'm not making big business. I'm not making a parnasa over here. When the mechrim sell esrogim, and that's their parnasa for the whole year, that's a violation of liochla v'lo l'schor. I just sell one apple, that's not called a violation of schor. So the din is, that during the shnas ha-shmita, the peris that grow have kedushas perishvius, you're not allowed to make big business on it. But let's say if I harvested all of the peris. Now, if I'm going to harvest all the peris, what am I going to do with all of them? I can't eat. I don't have such a big family. I'm not going to eat up all the peris. I'm going to harvest everything, and I'm going to drive to different cities, and I'm going to sell it. You're not allowed to make big business, but I want to make it available for the people, so I can charge them for the labor. I'm not allowed to make money to sell the peris, to make profit on it, but I can charge them for the labor. So I did the labor of plucking the peris off of the tree. Another guy packages the peris. Let's say Esregan. I pluck off there. So another guy puts them in a bag. Another guy drives a truck to the airport. Someone has to pay for taking it to America, wherever. And then someone has to pay to pick it up from the airport and to deliver it to Bnei Akiva. And then they're going to sell it. So everyone is entitled to get paid money. So theoretically, the esrogim that are oitzah bezdin, or the food, the fruits that they sell during the course of Shemitah, that's an oitzah bezdin, supposed to be supervised by the bezdins. So no one should be making any profit on the food. They should just collect their for the labor that they did. So theoretically, all the fruits that they sold for Noitzah Bezin should really cost 1/3 the price that it usually costs. Lemaise, that's not the case. Lemaise costs the same. In past years, it used to cost more. How come? Because all 6 years, there's a whole system. They worked out a whole system. They do everything, and they know how to distribute it, or here or there. In Shemitah, everybody relies on Heter Mechira, so there's hardly anybody relying on Oitzah Bezdin. So they have yeshiva guys put together a whole system. Yeshiva guys are batlonim. So the guy doesn't know. He drives the truck, it costs him a fortune for the gas, because he doesn't have a whole system where to drive it. So a lot of times, the Oitzah Bezdin Paris, instead of costing 1/3 the price, it costs more than the price that it cost all 6 years. Because they're batlanim, they don't know how to do it in an efficient fashion. You can do it in an efficient fashion, because there's so few people interested in Oitzah Bezdin. Everybody's relying on Heter Mechira. So this Shemitah, the year before Shemitah began, a small group of Balabatim in America, in Queens, decided they're going to subsidize it, they're going to sell it. They put together Oitzah Bezdin HaKloli, 7 Batidinim joined together, and they're going to have the same Klolim. Instead of every bezin making their own klolim, they're going to work out one klal, one psak for all the 7. Sfardim, Ashkenazim, Yeshivish, all together, everybody all together. and they're going to see to it that the paper sold one-third the price that it usually costs, and if it's expensive, it's going to be more than one-third, so these American gvir are going to subsidize. Well, I was in Eretz Yisrael during the summer, so I saw the truck that said Oitzeh Bezen HaKloli. That was from this chever. I don't know how it turned out. I don't know if they had to shell out the millions of dollars to subsidize it, or maybe everything worked out by itself. I don't know. So anyway, so if you buy from Oitzeh Bezen, like Bnei Akiva selling Oitzeh Bezen, so that has Kedushas Perishvitz. So strictly speaking, you're not really in violation of the Le'ochla V'lo L'Sorah, because they're only supposed to be charging for the labor. If you charge for labor, so all Esrogim should cost the same. So Rabbi Tzafati got me two Esrogim Oitzeh Bezen. They sell you the Esrog in a box, and you can't look at that in advance, and every Esrog costs $38. In the past years, every Esrog costs much more. But this year is a real Oitzeh Bezen. So they charge $38 just to cover all the labor expenses, and that's all. The Bnei Akiva is selling Oitzeh Bezen from a different Bezen, I don't know. So they have three different levels. They have the Mahadran is $75 for a whole set, the whole thing. And non-Mahadran is $60, and less than that. Kosher is $50. But if you're charging for labor, you're not charging for the Esrog. How come this is $75? That's $50?
Checking.
Huh?
Check.
Could be. I don't know what the answer. That by me, that's a puzzle. That's a riddle. I don't know the answer to. Maybe you have good. Maybe that's the right answer. I don't know. But the real Oitzeh Bezen, everybody, the real Oitzeh Bezen, they sell you a box that's sealed. Because if you're gonna take a look and pick this one, you're gonna pay more money to buy that. It means that you're paying for the estrogen. You know, that's paying for the labor. So they want to make sure that they're only taking money for the labor, so they sell you a closed box. So that's what Oitzeh Bezen is all about. Oitzeh Bezen means that they didn't rely on Heter Mechira, that it grew on a farm that belonged to a Jew, and the Esrog does have Kedushas Perishviyah. So there are some Rishonim say that after Sukkot is over, you have to send the Esrog back there, which is all have somebody eat it there. So if you go to the airport after Sukkot and you see all the guys going back to Mir and to Brisk, 5,000 people, 10,000 people going back there, it's all to learn. Each guy's going to take a big plastic bag with at least 100 Esrogim in it. You've got to take all the Esrogim. There's going to be a lot of luggage there. They take back after Shemitah, they take back a ton of Esrogim to Eretz Yisrael. And then we show them that if you took the Paris to Chutz Lords, you have to take it back to Eretz Yisrael and have it eaten there. They're not going to eat it in Eretz Yisrael, so what do you gain by bringing it back to Eretz Yisrael? May as well leave it in Chutz Lords, wait till it dries out. But they plan to bring it back. Then it was not Machma like that. Maybe it was impossible to be machmir. So the Netziv just had someone cook it with sugar, and he ate it after Sukkot, and then he paid the money. So it shouldn't be Teifas Dama. Good, there's a lot more in Hilchas Sukkot, there's a lot more in Hilchas Dalminim, but we built a basic Sukkot. Kosher B'yam. Yeah. Thank you very much. Who gave me the watch?
Even when the odds are best, you can say it's more than 3 points.